Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Approximately 185,000 murder cases went unsolved from 1980 to 2019. On average, 66% of homicides are solved each year. So what about the other 34%? Alarmingly, the number of murder cases that went unsolved by police hit a new high in 2020, resulting in only 50% of cases being solved, leaving far too many families with no answers, no resolution, no closure. That's why we investigate and report on unsolved cases, to spread the word in hopes of helping families who are searching for answers.
We don't sleep. We're just actively looking for her.
These girls were alive. They were living, breathing people. They weren't a picture in the media.
There was a body found in a truck recently. None of us know anything about that body. Who was it? What happened?
What could have happened? Who could have been involved? There's no answer. And it's just horrible.
A true crime series investigating mysterious unsolved cases. Real people, real stories, real crimes. Tune into Speaking of Crime with your hosts, Gia and John. Available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. We are at Speaking of Crime on Instagram and Facebook, and at Crime Speaking on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Crimatorium, the place where crime resides. Crimatorium can also be found on YouTube. Today's case takes us to Pondera County in Montana. The year was 1974, and Lana Harding was a teacher at Pioneer School, a one-room building with only five students, 13 miles northeast of Conrad, Montana. Lana lived in the teacherage, which was a housing accommodation the school provided for her. We will also go to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, the home of Deborah Preddy, a 15-year-old girl whose life was stolen from her and her loved ones while walking home from a school dance in her own neighborhood. Lana was born on May 19, 1950, in Billings, Montana, to Warren and Ethel Harding. Growing up in Montana, Lana learned to play the piano and the oboe. Her little brother Greg described her as musical, smart, caring, and never got in trouble. She was a religious and spiritual person and an active member of the Nazarene Church. Lana's mother would go on to become a state senator in Montana. Lana attended Northwest Nazarene College in Idaho to become a teacher. When she graduated in 1972, she did some student teaching in Ontario, Oregon, before moving back to her home state to teach at Pioneer School near Conrad in Montana's Wheat Country. On Tuesday morning, January 22, 1974, Lana didn't show up for class. Students and parents dropping their kids off to school became worried. Nobody had seen Lana since the prior evening at 5 p.m. when she went to the superintendent's office, about 13 miles from her home. The Pondera County Sheriff's officers were dispatched and arrived later that morning to the Pioneer School. Duncan Peter McKenzie Jr. was born in Chicago, Illinois on October 5, 1951. He was married twice and had three children with his second wife, which included a set of twin daughters. In 1970, 19-year-old Duncan McKenzie brutally raped and beat a woman in Blaine County, Idaho, and left her for dead on the side of the road. She was later found crawling alongside the road, near death and clad only in a shirt. According to an officer who saw her that night, she was beaten worse than anyone he had ever seen and lived with those injuries for the rest of her life. That same officer wrote McKenzie a ticket that night for reckless driving, and his victim was in the car with him. This officer also described arresting McKenzie various times for sniffing gas in a car lot. Stores in the area were told not to sell him glue or paint because he would put it in a bag and inhale it. McKenzie was arrested and sentenced to 3 years in prison for the violent assault of this woman and paroled in 1972. In March of 1973, he moved his family to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Deborah Alice Preddy was born on September 14, 1958, to Paul and Bernice Preddy. She was the youngest of four children, all of which were quite a few years older than her. The family had only lived in the area for a year when on Friday, October 26, 1973, 15-year-old Deborah and a friend were walking home from a junior high school dance. About a block from home, the two parted ways to go to their respective houses. Deborah never made it home that night. Her parents reported her missing, and a search for her of the area was conducted that entire night. The next morning, Deborah's older brother, Paul, found her body across the street from their home in a neighbor's backyard. She had been beaten, raped, and asphyxiated. A neighbor alerted authorities after hearing about Lana's case in Montana that McKenzie had lived in the same neighborhood as Deborah. There were similarities between the cases, and McKenzie became the main suspect in her rape and murder. Sadly, there has never been enough evidence to arrest him. Deborah's brother Paul told reporters later how much his mother suffered after Deborah's death. She rarely left the home and would often sit and stare across the street to where she had been found dead, he said. Just a month after Deborah's murder, McKenzie packed up his family and moved to Conrad, Montana. McKenzie found employment at KK Wholesale Seed Company, located approximately 3 miles from the Pioneer School Teacherage. The sheriff's deputies began their investigation into Lana's whereabouts at the Teacherage where she lived, just a short distance from Pioneer School. Inside, they found scuff marks on the floor, two rugs were in disarray, and a pair of glasses were on the floor. Her bed was also disheveled. Not far from the Teacherage, they found a woman's red-striped tennis shoe. They also found what appeared to be a drag mark from the Teacherage to the nearby road. At the end of the drag mark, they found blood and a watch, which was later identified to be Lana's. During the course of the investigation, sheriff's officers were told that McKenzie had just purchased a 1948 black Dodge pickup truck from a resident in Conrad, which he had been working on. He was seen the night before Lana was reported missing, driving the pickup truck and leaving K&K Wholesale Seed Company, where he worked, at approximately 6:45 p.m. He was heading toward his place of residence, which wasn't far from the Teacherage, and in the same direction. The pickup was seen at 7 p.m., about a mile from the Teacherage. A local resident, Mr. Pearson, whose home was across the street from the Teacherage, told the officers about an encounter he had had with Mackenzie at 8 o'clock that same night, Monday, January 21st. Mackenzie knocked on the Pearson residence door. He was out of breath and nervous and asked for directions to his own home, as well as help in getting his truck started. It would be later determined that the truck was stalled in the exact spot where the drug trail, the blood, and watch was located. While at Mr. Pearson's residence, Mackenzie called his wife to let her know he was coming home. They were able to get the truck started, and when Mackenzie drove away, Mr. Pearson noted that he did not drive toward his home. He drove towards the grain drill site. Lana's body was found on Wednesday, January 23rd at the snowy drill site, draped across the tongues of two grain drills, which are machines used to plant seeds. She was clothed only in a shirt, sweater, and a bra. She had been severely beaten about the head and the body. A rope was tied around her neck, and a coil of wire was found entangled in her hair. Also found at the drill site was a piece of brass from a water pump. The prior owner of the Dodge pickup testified that this piece of brass was in the back of the pickup when Mackenzie purchased it on January 19th. Additional items were located in the area of the drill site: a pair of gloves and a pair of overshoes, both with blood and brain matter on them. Boot impressions, as well as Lana's purse, were also found near the overshoes. The boot impressions were later identified as belonging to Duncan Mackenzie. Lana's parents were out of town visiting relatives when they learned that she was missing. When the time came to identify Lana's body, her aunt volunteered for the task. We can only imagine how traumatic this was. As a result of the information gathered, an arrest warrant was obtained for Mackenzie, as well as a search warrant. 22-year-old Duncan Mackenzie was arrested at his home, and his Dodge pickup truck was seized. Once impounded, the officers found blood in the bed of the truck and on the springs, as well as purple fibers that matched a sweater Lana was wearing. They noted that the back end of the pickup had recently been spray-painted black. A can of black spray paint was found in the cab of the pickup, and another was found in Mackenzie's home. Also found in the truck was a coil of wire identical to the wire found in Lana's hair, and an exhaust manifold that had been painted black that had human blood and brain tissue on it. Mackenzie was held on a $125,000 bond. He was charged with aggravated kidnapping, aggravated assault, and deliberate homicide, which takes the place of first and second degree murder in Montana. When the time came, Mackenzie refused to enter a plea, so Judge R.J. McPhillips entered a plea of not guilty on his behalf. A temporary trial date of September 10th, 1974 was scheduled. However, it was eventually rescheduled for January of 1975. Lana's devastated family held a memorial service for her on Thursday, January 24th, 1974, at Smith's Chapel, the same day as Mackenzie's arrest. Over 100 friends and family were in attendance. A letter to the editor, written by a parent of one of Lana's students, was published in the Independent Journal. Here is just a part of what it said. She led an exemplary Christian life. If I am ever fortunate enough to have my daughters grow up to be the kind of person Lana was, I would consider myself to be richly blessed indeed. At trial, several co-workers of Mackenzie detailed conversations they'd had with him on January 21st, shortly after he purchased the pickup truck, and the same day that Lana was kidnapped and murdered. Mackenzie stated that he liked to break in every new vehicle by having sex in it. several days prior to that, he told co-workers that he'd had sex with country school teachers and that they were naive, homely, and uneducated. He could teach them, and they were easy to get. McKenzie also stated several times that he had a particular teacher in mind. It was also testified that the gloves found on the scene belonged to a co-worker of McKenzie's, but McKenzie took them and he was seen wearing them that day. The blood found on the gloves in the back of the truck and on the manifold were all confirmed to be Lana's. Dr. John Pfaff, the pathologist that examined Lana's body, testified that she suffered from a fractured skull and died from blunt force trauma to the head. This blow could have been delivered by the exhaust manifold found in the back of the truck. A rope had been tied around her neck, and there was evidence that she had been strangled. However, pressure had been released, so she did not die of strangulation. She had also been raped. Although it was unknown how McKenzie chose Lana as his victim, it was believed that he had entered her home on the night of January 21, 1974, either by her letting him in or some other means, and then carried out his vicious attack on her. During the 18-day trial, four FBI agents testified, along with numerous other witnesses, and over 100 pieces of evidence was introduced. The jury of 7 women and 9 men deliberated for 9 hours, and on February 1, 1975, they found McKenzie guilty of rape, kidnapping, and murder by torture. District Judge R.J. Nielsen sentenced McKenzie to die by hanging on April 30, 1975. That date came and went as McKenzie filed numerous appeals spanning over the course of 20 years, and he was given 8 stays of execution. Many people advocated for clemency on his behalf, and issues were raised about the cruelty of executing someone after so many years on death row. The string of appeals finally ended when Governor Mark Racicot denied him his 9th stay of execution. McKenzie visited with his stepmother and son that day, and even though a glass window separated them, they were allowed to hug each other. He spent the rest of the day with his attorneys, who said he was quiet and subdued, adding that he was very polite with the staff and even joked with them. At 7:30 p.m., he had a last meal of tenderloin steak, French fries, a tossed salad, orange sherbet, and whole milk. Opting for lethal injection instead of hanging, McKenzie was allowed to listen to country singer Marty Robbins on cassette through earphones, a surprisingly generous and compassionate gesture, and one that I've never heard of. At 11:40 p.m. on May 9, 1995, McKenzie was taken to the execution chamber at the Montana State Prison in Deer Lodge, and his 272-pound body was strapped to a gurney. There to witness the execution was Lana's brother Greg and 3 of her aunts. When asked if he had any last words, he shook his head no. Duncan McKenzie was pronounced dead at 12:22 a.m. on May 10, 1995, at the age of 43. It was Montana's first execution in 52 years, and nearly 21 years after he killed Lana Harding. The Preddy family and Coeur d'Alene investigators hoped McKenzie would confess to Deborah's murder, as that would really put an end to all these years of not knowing, Deborah's brother Paul said in an interview. Coeur d'Alene Police Captain Carl Berg requested an interview with McKenzie close to the date of his execution, and one account states that McKenzie's lawyer refused, and another one says that the prison didn't want to put off the execution. Regardless, the Coeur d'Alene police chief had been trying to speak with McKenzie for 20 years and never got the chance, and McKenzie never admitted to the crime. Within 3 years of Lana's death, the Pioneer School closed. The building was moved to Dupuyer, Montana, and is now a Baptist church. Lana's younger brother, her only sibling, Greg, died in 2021, as well as both of her parents. Deborah's older brother, Paul, who has always hoped to receive answers in Deborah's death, died in 2017. Both of her parents have passed on as well. She has one sibling remaining who would be in her 70s now, so it's unclear if anyone is abdicating to get this case solved. This episode was initially only going to be about Lana, but I decided to include as much as I could about Deborah and make it about her too, even though there is very little information about her case. At the last minute, I requested a police report from the Coeur d'Alene Police Department, and I will update everyone if and when I receive it. If anyone has any information about Deborah's case, please call the Coeur d'Alene Police Department at 208-769-2320 or the Idaho Cold Case Tip Line at 844-847-4040, or you can email them at tipline@cei.moscow.id.us. This information will also be in the show notes. Thank you all for watching and listening, and until next time, take care.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.